Well, good morning again. We've been talking about living a lifestyle of generosity, and that means we're not just talking about money and finances, but all the parts of our lives. We're seeking to identify the resources that we have. So last week, Pastor Joshua talked about time as a resource that we have. And we've been evaluating the boundaries we've placed around those resources. And we don't think those are bad things to have boundaries around the resources. In fact, we should know how much we're able and willing to give of any of these things. But we're also trying to take an honest look at them in an effort to be more generous with the things that God's given us. So today I want to talk about something that we don't often associate with generosity, and that's wisdom. Generosity of wisdom. I want to begin with the fact that wisdom is, in fact, a gift. Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, listening closely to wisdom and directing your heart to understanding. Furthermore, if you call out to insight and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Friends, wisdom is precious. It's so valuable. Don't fall into the trap that says, you know, we sometimes get this sense nowadays that wisdom and knowledge and understanding aren't that important if you're spiritual. Like, that's not true. Is that what the scripture says? All throughout the scripture, it's saying, cry out for these things. Call out for them. And the Lord gives it. Wisdom is a gift. It is something that is given. It is something that is received. And hopefully, it is something that is often re-gifted. Sometimes re-gifting is a great thing. White elephants, that's a time. Re-gifting is a fun thing. Wisdom, that's another time. Re-gifting is allowed and encouraged. James 1, 2 through 5 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. God gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So, suppose you need wisdom in some area of your life. Say it's your marriage, you know, things aren't falling apart, but you're like, my goodness, this is harder than I thought. Lord, give me wisdom. How do we expect God to answer that prayer? Maybe we expect it's gonna come in a dream, some download. It's like Solomon's dream, right? He's, oh, suddenly I'm a rock star husband. Maybe, but the fact is, most of the time, I dare say, God doesn't do that. Most of the time, the answers to prayer that God gives us come through other people. That might be hard for some of us, because we would love for it just to be me and Jesus. We got this line, man. And yeah, but we're the body of Christ. Most of the time, he's going to do it through someone else. You've heard that anecdote of, you know, someone who's like in the ocean and drowning, and they call out, Lord, Lord, save me, you know, and then they die, and he's all upset with God in heaven, going, well, what in the world? I called you out to save me. And God says, well, remember that boat that came along and threw you that? And you said, no, 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 I'm waiting for God to save me. You remember that? You remember the helicopter that came afterwards and dropped a ladder right to you? No, 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 I'm waiting for God to save me. You know, like, it's a funny little anecdote. I think the same thing happens with wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. And God's like, okay, well, you work with this really wise person and you've looked up to them for years. Have you invited them into your life? Lord, give me wisdom. Like, what? You're surrounded sometimes by people who, if you only invited into that place, you might actually find wisdom. So, in the New Testament, Paul explicitly tells us in the church to be generous with wisdom. He talks about older men and women being generous with wisdom, sharing with the younger men and women. He even tells younger leaders to be generous with older people so that they can instruct them well. So in the body of Christ, we are to share what we have, and that includes our experiences and the understanding, the insight that we might have learned along the way. The thing is, it does happen often. but very often does not happen. And I want to think about that and go why that might be. I think sometimes it's as simple as the expectations that we have. And sometimes those expectations are brought on by our terminology. The first term we use often, which is not a bad term, it's mentorship. And when we use that term, some are going to latch onto that and be great with it. Some are going to get, they're going to struggle with an idealistic picture of what that could look like. Here's why I think that is, and I'm being serious about this. It's the mentors that are in TV and movies and literature. They're so awesome. I mean, Luke Skywalker had Yoda and Ben Kenobi, right? Like, awesome. Ben Kenobi had Qui-Gon Jinn. Now, that's only for, that I'm throwing you guys a bone. You youngers out there, you know who you are, who believe the prequels are good movies. I'm throwing you guys a bone. Still praying for you. Besides that, you know who you are. Besides that, I mean, you think of like Dorothy had Glinda, you know? The Pevensey kids had Aslan. Danielson had Mr. Miyagi. Neo had Morpheus. Thank you, Josh. Bilbo, Frodo, and Aragorn all had Gandalf. Harry had Dumbledore. Poe had Master Shifu. And Brady had Belichick. And that's super cool, because who wouldn't want someone like Gandalf right there just dispensing wisdom at every turn? That's awesome. The problem is, I don't know anyone like that. I don't. I know lots of people who are wise, and I invite them to speak into my life. No, Joshua really wants to be the... Sorry, I outed you? You think I'm not going to respond when you're literally going like that? I got to take a drink. I know a lot of wise people, and I have invited many of them to speak in my life. But the fact is, they're a bunch of normies. They're just normal people going about their everyday life, their very daily lives. They have flaws. They have things that I go, that's really weird, right? So certainly, I can't invite them to speak in my life because that's too weird. I think that idealistic picture of mentorship sometimes gets in our way. It makes us set the bar super high, right? So mentorship, sometimes that word can trip us up. Also, there's a lot of like, feels like there's a lot of strings attached maybe. There's another term that we use a lot that's similar, spiritual mothers and fathers. Now that's a scriptural concept. There's nothing wrong with the concept, hear me. But that's pretty loaded. And there feels like there's a lot of strings attached. You know, many years ago, I got done preaching a sermon, and a gentleman came up to me and said, hey, can we meet this week? I said, sure. I'd never met with him before. I said, sure, yeah. Schedule an appointment. Well, let's do that. And he said, good, because I have some things I want to talk to you about, you know, as a father. And I went, there's some red flags coming in my mind, because first of all, I had known enough about this individual to think, I don't want this person to have that place in my life. Like, I didn't regard this person as someone who was full of wisdom. But second, he seemed very eager to take a place of authority in my life. And I was like, I'm not down with that. So what I said, I pivoted. I was quick on my toes. And here's how he answered. And I submit this to you guys to be able to answer somebody like this. I said, you know what? I would love to meet with you. It'd be great. But fortunately, I already have a spiritual father who's speaking into my life. So you don't actually need that weight of responsibility on you. So that's good news for you. We can just come and talk. And he looked a little bit crestfallen when I said that. He said, oh, okay. He never actually scheduled the appointment. So do you see what I'm saying? Like, when someone's overeager to take a place that you haven't granted them, that is a sacred place that someone needs to sort of be invited into. So that term, spiritual mothers and fathers, that's a huge threshold. That's a high threshold, you know? Idealism and pressures of relationship. Those are loaded terms, mother and father. People have lots of experiences. To go straight to that, whew, you know, that can feel awkward. Does anyone relate to that? So, these are all good things, but I want to suggest to you a different way to look at this that maybe isn't quite as loaded for most of us. You can use whatever terminology you want For me, this one is more helpful, and that is to talk about brothers and sisters. Because that's all over the New Testament, how we're supposed to interact with one another as brothers and sisters. If we just took that, there would be all sorts of weirdness that would just go away. Like men and women could just be friends, you know? Wow, imagine that. It's brothers and sisters, you know? All kinds of stuff could be figured out if we just leaned more into that, including this. An older brother and an older sister. That's less authoritative, isn't it? You know, maybe this is easier for me. I have some big brothers, and I have a good relationship with them. And so it's not hard for me to think about this. Well, one of the things I like about this kind of relationship is big brothers don't usually try to make little siblings into their image. Like, I got annoyed when my little brother would dress like me. You know what I mean? Like, stop. Gosh, I want to be unique. Now, maybe I have a hang up on being original and unique. That's what people tell me. But regardless, that is a thing that I think people have a better understanding of in this. Sometimes these mentoring relationships can be sort of like, let me teach you how to be like me. And I don't think that's the best approach. In fact, I think Jesus kind of didn't like that so much. The way that people used to approach rabbis and disciples, remember we talked about this all throughout the fall, was that a rabbi would have disciples who would look like them. They would learn to pray like them and think like them and speak like them and all of this, right? And so John the Baptist's disciples, I'm sure, were growing their hair in dreads and learning the best way to marinate locusts. Like, that was just a thing because they're trying to be like their rabbi, right? Jesus comes along, has his disciples, and when he commissions them, he tells them to go and make disciples, but not of them, of him. So Peter was not going out there trying to create more Peters. He was trying to go out there to teach people how to be like Christ. Do you see that? So Paul actually confronted this. When the Corinthians, they had all these factions. They had Team Paul and Team Apollos. Right? How awkward is that? And Paul's getting so annoyed, saying, stop it. You're supposed to follow Jesus, not Paul or Apollos. Don't stop dressing like me. Cut it out. Imagine if we did that here, like Team Joshua or Team Jason. You know, it's like all my people have flannels and all Josh's people have 30 pairs of shoes. And, you know, that's awkward. That's gross. No. But a big brother or sister can look and say, hey, guys, listen. I want you to look like Jesus in your own way, how he's created you. Don't look like me. So I think brothers and sisters is a potentially good and healthy way to approach this and think about this. It's important for those of us who are looking to receive wisdom too and are looking for someone to speak in our lives. The first instinct might be, okay, who is kind of like me? Who is somebody I can see, ooh, I want to be like that in 20 years? Like, I get that instinct, but there are downsides to that. Like, you don't want someone exactly like you because then you might actually have the same blind spots. I've found it's really good to have a variety of people that speak into your life who have very different experiences. Mark Wall, Pastor Mark. Pastor Mark is very much like a big brother to me. And I love hanging out with him. He's not a mentor. He's not a spiritual daddy, but he is like a big brother. He has more life experience than I do because, you guys, he's really old, like super old. So I know when I sit with him and I'm just like, he's like, how are you? You know, you're here when Mark does that. How are you? You know? And I'm like, man, I'm struggling this or whatever. I'm like, I'm going through this thing. And he might not have that experience at all. We've both been through a lot of stuff and it's very, very different. And so it's good for me to hear what he has to say because it's something I wouldn't have ever thought of because, oh, I didn't ever have to learn that lesson. Don't look for people who are just like you, please. Look for others who would be able to surprise you with their wisdom. So here's what I want to advise. When you're looking for an older brother or sister to speak into your life, look for three things. This is just my three things. Look for those who have Christ-like character. Look for those with life experiences that you do not have. And look for those who are not easily shaken in difficult circumstances. Those who are not easily shaken. Now, I'm not gonna advise you on how this should look. Maybe you're already doing this all the time and you're great, that's fantastic. We're gonna give everyone a chance to sort of assess for themselves at the end of the service like we did last week. Maybe you're doing great with this, but maybe you're not and you need some help starting. I don't know the best way for this to work for you because everyone does this differently, you know? Sometimes people are like, man, I meet with that guy 5 mornings a week and we have coffee, or we walk together every morning. And some are like, hey, we have coffee once a month. Some are like, you know what? Our schedules are so busy, but we just Marco Polo each other all the time and tell what's going on in our lives. There are so many different ways to glean wisdom and experience from other people. And that can, that you know, whatever shape that needs to take, I think is great. So practically speaking though, to me, I think the biggest hurdle is that first step, that initiation. Like, who's supposed to initiate? Like, in a perfect world, when everybody could read minds and see, like, people's needs, probably the older brother, older sister should be the one to initiate, right? The problem is we don't live there, and sometimes people have no idea the needs you have, the struggles you're going through. So sometimes the one who needs wisdom has to be the one to initiate and to say, hey, can we have coffee or something? And that can be a scary thing. But I want to encourage you to take that step if you need to. Remember, it's going to be awkward on both sides because the older person probably doesn't want to come across pushy or authoritative, right? So who do you ask? You guys, I don't know who you ask. Ask God, talk to God about it. Maybe you can talk to us about it. We'd love to talk with you. You're like, I'm looking for someone to speak into my life. Great, come talk to us. We'd love to talk about that. Talk to friends, get some advice on who you might have. Maybe even have a list of people who you think, this person maybe could speak into my life a little bit. Or on the other side, somebody who I can pour out to. Just get practical. Like, don't over-spiritualize it. Maybe just make a list. I want to encourage you this though. Don't write people off too quickly who might be a blessing to you and might be able to give wisdom. Don't write them off too quickly. Can I tell you about my grandmother? I'm going to. I don't need your permission. I have the mic. My grandmother was a difficult woman, you guys. I'm really happy she's with Jesus now because, like, she's happy. Like, I'm like, thank God. She was not happy. No, I don't mean that. I'm glad she's. I just mean, like, that totally sounded awful, didn't it? I just meant she was not happy at all. I never saw her happy hardly. But she was difficult. Like, she, every time we were at their house in British Columbia, me and my brothers were like, please, can we get on a ferry boat and go to Victoria to our other grandparents' house? And she was always upset about something, and she decided to come to our wedding 26 years ago in Minnesota. She was in her late 80s, and my grandpa was in his early 90s. And they came, I was nervous. Everybody was nervous when she's around. Of course, she falls in love with Sarah instantly, golden girl. She comes up the stairs. Sarah's taking a nap on the couch, and she's halfway up the stairs, and she turns to me and goes, "She's like a little pixie." Of course, so irritating. I missed that last one. I missed it. Unreal. Anyway, the day before our wedding, we're sitting outside on this picnic table outside the church, and my dad is mowing the lawn, and my grandparents start talking to me. They start telling us the story of their first year of marriage. They were old, right? Like, they were old. Like, really? She said their first year of marriage, it was during the Great Depression. They were so poor. In Canada, they were living in an empty grain silo. They had a dirt floor. an empty grain silo. They spent Canadian winters there. She had their first baby there. Can you imagine? I couldn't imagine. I'm sitting here. My eyes are huge. I'm like, I've never heard this story before. And then something shocking happened. She starts laughing. And my grandpa, they start laughing. And she's like, oh, but we had fun in those days. I'm like, we had fun. And she says, you know, so many young people now, they've got everything money could buy, but they're miserable. We didn't have anything except each other, and we had fun. I will never forget that. I think that's the first day I ever met my grandma. Don't write people off too quickly. Don't write them off too quickly, because it is tempting. It is tempting. I want to speak to different groups. Can I speak to you youngins first? You guys in your teens, 20s, and 30s, can I speak to you guys? I will speak to the older guys in a second. But hang with me, okay? I want to talk to you guys because I think that there are very imperfect people, just like my grandma, but maybe not as harsh as she is. There are imperfect people around you whose trauma is very different than yours. The stuff you guys have been through is very real. It's very real. The personal stuff, the cultural stuff, the endless barrage of bad news, the crushing pressures of social media. All of this is real. The trauma that happened during the COVID years is real. We all felt it, but you guys might have felt it more because schools closed down and some of you guys couldn't even graduate because of that. All of those things are legit and very real and stuff that I didn't have to go through. I want you to also be advised of this, though. Previous generations went through trauma, too. They just never had neuroscience, and they never had therapists to help them work through it. And I'm so glad you guys have that, have the ability to understand that. Please cherish it. Please deal with those things. But there were some really intense stuff. Like, my grandmother lived through extreme poverty. Then she had children and lived through a world war, which they thought the Nazis were going to take over the world, for real. And then, likewise, there are many in here. Maybe they didn't experience that, but they lived through the Cold War and the threat of nuclear missiles. Some people in here experienced duck and cover drills, where people thought that nuclear missiles were going to be shot from Cuba. So maybe if they got under their desks, they would be safe from the explosion. That's trauma. That's intense. And then they lived through the horrors of the cultural explosions of Vietnam and economic downturns and 9/11 and these new fears of global terrorism that introduced these horrors that we never imagined. And that's just the stuff on the news. That's just the cultural stuff. But the longer you live, the more personal stuff that happens too. So my grandma experienced all of that, and then you know what she experienced? She experienced the death of her oldest son when he was like 30. It's before I was ever born. And I think about that, and I think, well, no wonder she was grouchy. She went through more stuff than I ever had. Not everyone comes out of that with peak wisdom, obviously. Not every older person is wise, I know. But friends, many of those around you have suffered losses that you can't even imagine. And they're still walking. And they're still smiling. And they're still functional human beings who know how to love well. They still have hope. They haven't given up their faith. They haven't given up on their loved ones. They found a way to overcome. And my dear young friends, please hear me. I believe you would benefit greatly from hearing those stories of survival. We all need more stories of redemption. We need pictures of healing in our lives, but you guys might need them a little more, not because you're more fragile. You might need them more because hopelessness and nihilism is flooding your news feeds. And people are telling you, it's all gonna burn, it's all pointless, it's all suffering. but people have made it through suffering and still stand victorious in life. We need their stories. You need those stories. You need to see how this is possible. Can you receive that, you guys? Now, I want to talk to the rest of us. I'm going to say 40s and over. Of course, there's crosses in all directions, but those who are 40 and over, I'm going to get there eventually. You do have something to offer. You do. Don't assume that you don't have anything to offer. But the fact is, most young people are not looking for a new authority figure. And most young people aren't looking for endless lectures about the good old days and how broken their generation is. I mean that very seriously. They're not looking for that. They're not looking for facts, and they're not looking for constant lessons. Most young people are looking for someone who will listen and someone who will be real and show their scars and tell their stories. You might not think you have some inspirational story, but if you've been around a while, you've gone through some really hard stuff in your life, and you're still here. You haven't given up. You're still here. You haven't walked away from God. You haven't walked away from caring for your loved ones. You're still moving forward. How are you still moving forward? Because, friends, that's a story. That's a story. Your resilience, the story of your resilience is a story worth telling. And maybe you don't want to share those things. You know, I get that. Some people are really hesitant about sharing those places of pain. But I want you to remind you what John said in Revelation 12:11. They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they did not love their lives to the point of death. The word of their testimony. Guys, that testimony is probably not your conversion story. That testimony is your survival story. How you were clinging to Jesus in those hard days. Or maybe you weren't. Maybe Jesus was just clinging to you. That's a story worth telling. How do you still have peace? That's a story worth telling. Share those scars. The act of listening to someone else's hardships and sharing your own, you guys, that is an exchange of wisdom. Are you being generous with your wisdom? Because there's a young man whose marriage is falling apart, and maybe you've been there. Maybe you've been there. So here's an idea. Take him fishing. Maybe there's a woman whose kids are making bad decisions and she's blaming herself, and you see that and you're like, whoo, do I get that? See if she wants to go on a walk. There's a couple trying to get their business off the ground and they're already getting buried by taxes, and you have been there. Have them over to your place. Compare notes. Are you being generous with your wisdom? And I'm gonna say this to everybody now, not just that crowd. Everyone in here, you have something to offer. Someone, there are people around us that are navigating hard things and they think they're alone. Some of them are crying out silently for help. You guys, there's a young girl near you who's battling an eating disorder. That's a private struggle, and maybe you know that struggle well. She needs your story. She needs your presence. Invite her to Max Porter's. There's a boy out there who's mad at the world and he can't stay out of trouble. And you went through something similar back in the day. Maybe it was 30 years ago. Maybe it was 3 years ago. It doesn't matter. Go get a lunch basket at the DQ. That's an inexpensive lunch. I don't care where you are in your stage of life, you guys. All of us have scars. All of us have stories to share. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of these testimonies. This is how we do it. This is how we do it. Be generous with what you have. I urge you. Be generous with what you have. Isaac Cox, where are you? Isaac Cox. He wore a flannel today just for the occasion. Thank you, Isaac. Team Jason. Right. Isaac, With you got it? No, that's yeah.
No,
there you go. Yep. Isaac, when you were 19 years old, you were not following Jesus. You were a track athlete. Everything was wrapped up in that. And you met this guy named BJ and his wife Beth. And you told me that these guys kept showing up in your life, coming to your meets, playing basketball, etc. And as you were drawn more, first of all, what drew you to them?
At the time, I had no idea. But, you know, looking back, what they carried was a presence of peace. At that time, you know, on paper, Division I, full ride, NCAA athlete, right? I had things going for me. Everything should have been very fulfilling for me. But that wasn't the case. And over the course of my high school and early college days, BJ would show up at some of my track meets. I'd say hi, whatever, thanks for coming. He'd invite me to the church to play basketball, and I'd show these Christian boys how to hoop. No big deal. But I was never interested in actually like being a Christian at the time.
Right. You weren't interested, but something happens. You kind of hit rock bottom. Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so 19.
Is Chief Waddell in here, by the way? Sorry, keep on.
I was 19. My brother had just turned 21. My sister was 23. My mom and dad decided they're going to take my brother and sister to Vegas. I was 19, so I wasn't able to go. So I decided I was going to bring Vegas to our house. So I threw this big party, huge party. Cops came, got broken up. I spent that night in a holding cell, up all night. I was so cold. This is rock bottom. I was so cold. I wrapped my legs up in toilet paper. I used the brown cushion as a pillow, and I just sat there and was like, I'm pathetic. This is pathetic, and I gotta change something about what I'm doing with my life.
So you got up that morning, you had a phone call.
That next morning, I got up, called BJ right away. I didn't even know what I was going to ask him. I just told him, this is what happened. This is where I'm at. I need help. And he came and picked me up, and that changed the rest of my life.
You started spending time with these guys. You said they made space for you in their lives.
Yeah, of course, this is how God works, right? Now that we all know. Little did I know, and God had been speaking to them, specifically telling Beth that I want him. And so when I reached out to them, because I was in such a mess and there was so much chaos around my life and I needed help, they were eager to create a lot of space for me. I felt a lot of freedom just to show up at their workplace, at the church they were serving in. At the time, they were youth pastors. And they just invited me in. It wasn't long before they let me live with them for a season.
And you met Jesus with them.
And I met Jesus with them. And it wasn't like this big moment of them sitting me down and telling me, you need Jesus. This is actually what you need. This is why we've invited you into our lives, just so we can give you Jesus. They just brought me with them. They were doing youth ministry. They invited me to do youth ministry. They were doing these summer camps. They invited me to do their summer camps. They invited me to have dinners with them, breakfast with them. BJ was reading the Bible. He asked me if I wanted to read the Bible with him. Yeah. It was just so real and authentic, and it's what my soul really longed for in that season.
I love this testimony. Obviously, there, like we said, there's so many different pictures of how this can look. And most of the time, when you're speaking to someone's life, they don't come and live with you. This time they did. God was calling on them, and he was calling on him too. So I love the fact that you initiated that. You had to say, I need help. Come get me. Come, please, just, I need something. And I love that about you. This is who you are. You see something and you say, I want to go after that thing. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And I think we can all learn from that. You also said that you had, like all of us have different needs in our lives, right? We got the spiritual need to grow up. Then as you're getting older, you're realizing, oh man, I got to figure out this thing called money. But you were like, I'm not sure these guys are the best guys for that because they're like really strong in these areas, but maybe not as strong financially. So what did you do?
Yeah, so throughout relationship with Beth and BJ, I got to know this couple named Mike and Laura Bumis. Mike Bumis is the guy that married me and Abby. And spending time with them, I realized that they live so well under their means. Is that the phrase?
Yeah.
And then I heard that they have this thing they call an annual giving goal, which is something that they set that's on top of their tithe, and they want to give away X amount of thousands of dollars every year, and they can do it all at once or monthly, whatever, but they have this giving goal. I thought that was super cool. And so just as I started thinking about money, I just made sure, hey, Mike, I'm thinking about getting a credit card. This is why. What do you think? And just letting them into that process and these decision-making, because Abby at the time was gone in Australia, so I didn't have her wisdom with me. So I had to lean on his.
Can we have the papers start coming around? We're going to hand out assessments here for this. So he's speaking in your life at sort of at every turn as you're going through, you know, financial questions and things like that. Do you still talk to him?
Yeah. Me and Mike are very close. Even me and BJ, he just sent me a text. This is something I wanted to say too, is like, you know, in that initial beginning phase, BJ and Beth were super available and all in. But since then, you know, like BJ sent me a text this morning. Last time he texted me was probably like 4 months ago, maybe even longer than that. But that's not our relationship is just as strong. It's just in that beginning season, they really needed to invest in me because I was so messed up. But as I've grown, that commitment level has shifted and changed and evolved into now it's just more brother.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fantastic. So I thought that was such a good testimony to hear that there are people in different areas of our life that we might need help with. Like, you don't have to go, whoa, find someone who's just rocking every part of their life and say, you know, help me with all of these things. There's many people with a variety of experiences. Seek them out. I think we can all take a page from this guy's book to go, I need something. I'm going to find it. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Way to go. You can bring that back. You see in front of you a sheet, just like we had last week. And this, you're not going to hand this in. This provides you a chance to assess where you are. How generous am I with the wisdom I have? Is there someone I know who could benefit from my presence? Or there should be from my presence, my story, my wisdom. How good am I receiving wisdom? Go ahead and take a few minutes on those questions as they're coming around. We're going to have some music on there so you can focus just for a couple minutes here.